Let us pray.
Lord, indeed, by your grace, we come. Lord, we thank you so much for your salvation on the cross, so that we believe in you. Those who believe in you, we are called righteous, and we are called children of God. So Lord, this morning as we come, as we read your scripture, Lord, we pray that you speak to our hearts, so that once again, and you speak deeply in our hearts that we are called righteous by you, by God, and we are called children of God. So that we can appreciate what a great grace and love you have for us. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Last time we looked at the beginning of Paul's letters to the Galatians. That is the greeting from Galatians chapter 1, verse 1 to 5. This morning I'm going to continue with the remaining parts of the same chapter, which is Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 to 24. I would like to give the theme of this session, Paul and the Gospel of Grace. Paul and the Gospel of Grace. For this theme, I would like to look at two main sessions, two main points. The first one is, don't desert the Gospel of Grace, from verse 6 to 9. And then Paul and the Gospel of Grace, from verse 10 to 24. Let us look at the first session, the main point in verse 6 to 9. Don't desert the Gospel of Grace. Let us read. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 to 9. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is any another one, but there are some who trouble you and want you to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. After greeting the Galatians in the first five verses of chapter 1, Paul continue and go straight to verse 6 to 9. In all Paul's other letters to other churches, Paul usually gave thanks to the recipients, praising them or pray for them after greeting them. However, in the letter to the Galatians, neither did Paul praise them nor gave thanks for them. Paul went straight to rebuild them for their dangerous spiritual condition. That is deserting Christ and his gospel of grace. Paul rebuked them. From verse 6, we see that God called them in the grace of Christ. In other words, the calling of the gospel is the calling in the grace of Christ. However, the Galatians were turning to a different gospel. When they were deserting the gospel of grace and turning to a different gospel, they were actually deserting God who called them in his grace, in the grace of Christ. It is because if you don't have the gospel, the true gospel of grace, you don't have Christ. What is the gospel of Christ? What's the gospel of grace? The gospel of grace is the gospel initiated by God's grace. It is God who initiates to call us freely receive his grace. We are saved not because we first call upon God, but because God first called us. It is God who took the initiative to accomplish the gospel of grace through his son Jesus. God gave his son Jesus freely for us. The sinless Jesus
already substitute us to bear all the punishment of our sins on the cross. Jesus paid all the debt of all our sins by his death so that we can be forgiven by God. Through Jesus' death, we sinners can be called righteous by God. This is the saving grace of God. On the third day, God raised Jesus up from the dead. Through his resurrection, he was declared to be the Son of God. He is the Lord. Whoever believes in Jesus is the Lord and believes in his saving grace, their sins are forgiven. They do not need to face the punishment of sin anymore and are called righteous by God. Believing Jesus means receiving Jesus. As John chapter 1 verse 12 says, "But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." Therefore, whoever received Jesus into their hearts as the Lord and as the Savior, their sins are forgiven and are called righteous by God. Not only sin being forgiven, but also, as John said, become children of God. God gives them a new birth, a new life, so that they become children of God. As 1 John chapter 3 verse 1 says, "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are." Whoever has Jesus to be their Lord and Savior, they are called righteous by God and called children of God. This is the saving grace of God. This is God's love. We unworthy sinners are now saved and called righteous by the holy God. We unworthy sinners now become beloved children of God. All is by grace. Not only by grace, but by grace alone. This grace can be available for us by the death and resurrection of Jesus. This grace can only be received through faith and faith alone. It is not by grace and then plus some of our good work or goodness, because we are unworthy sinners, so that no one can boast. That is the gospel of Christ. That is the gospel of grace, freely given to those who are believing Jesus as the Lord and Savior. This is the gospel of grace the Apostle Paul preached to the Galatians previously. At the time of writing this letter, probably a year or two afterwards, Paul was astonished that the Galatians were so quickly misled by false teacher and deserted Christ and his gospel of grace. Paul was very angry at those false teachers who troubled them and distorted the gospel of Christ. In Galatians chapter 1 verse 7, the clause, "not that there is another one," are translated in NIV version as, "which is no gospel at all." Grace is such an important characteristic of the gospel. If grace is undermined in the gospel will be distorted, and the distorted gospel becomes no gospel at all. Some people trouble the Galatians. They are false teachers. These false teachers, they are zealous for the Judaism. We call them Judaizers. They are zealous for the law of Moses. They were adding Judaism onto the gospel of Jesus. They said they believe in Jesus, but they advocated that believing in Jesus was not enough. They emphasized the Christians need to keep the law of Moses, including circumcision, in order to be saved. That means they didn't believe in the gospel of grace. They taught that keeping the law of Moses is another requirement of salvation. In other words, they thought what Jesus had accomplished for man's salvation was not good enough. They thought that they need to add something more to what Jesus has done in order to be saved. But Paul said, any gospel apart from the gospel of grace is not gospel at all. Any gospel which undermines the sufficiency of what Jesus has accomplished through his death and resurrection is not gospel at all. This Judaism not only thought what Jesus did was not good enough for man to be accepted by the righteous God, they also thought that man can do something good through keeping the law of Moses to gain God's acceptance. In fact, the Bible in Jeremiah chapter 17 verse 9 said clearly, Jeremiah 17 verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? From us, what we think is good is this can be deceitful. In Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6, it also says, we have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. These Judaizers didn't see the sinfulness of man, that we are too sinful to contribute any of our own effort to gain the salvation of God. All human efforts, including the apparently righteous deeds, to gain God's acceptance are like a polluted garment before God. Judaism's gospel is no gospel at all. It gave false hope to man and hindered them to come to the true gospel of grace. It also tried to boast that man can work their own effort for salvation. They boasted the law of Moses to the Gentiles. They took the glory from Christ to themselves, boasting of their own merit. Therefore, Paul used severe language in verse 8 to 9. Because this Judaizer troubled the Galatian Christian with a distorted gospel. In verse 8, Paul said, let them be accursed. These severe wordings are not only to the Judaizers, but also to anyone who misled believers to another gospel. Even if Paul himself, or anyone from Paul's accompanied brothers, or any angel from heaven preaches another gospel, let them be accursed. Paul felt that very urgent need to restore the Galatians Christians to bring them back to the gospel of grace. It is because Galatians' salvation is at stake. God's glory is at stake. To the Galatians, how were they able to discern whether the so-called gospel they heard was true or not? By comparing it with the gospel they had previously heard from Paul. To us, today, how can we know the gospel we hear is from God? By comparing it with that from the Bible. The Bible are the word of God, written by Paul and other apostles and servants of God through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. That's why Christians need to study and know the Bible. That's why we are looking at the book of Galatians today to consider the gospel of grace. Now we move to the next session, verse 10 to 24. Paul and the gospel of grace. Maybe the Judaizers had previously accused Paul before the Galatians, that he tried to please men by preaching a gospel of grace, a gospel with an easy salvation for men to be saved without obeying the law of Moses. Paul defended here that he was not pleasing men in preaching the gospel of grace. Paul said in verse 10 to 12, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel. For I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through the revelation of Jesus Christ." The gospel of grace is not from man. It was not originated by Paul's own thinking. Neither did he receive or learn from any man, including the leading apostles in Jerusalem. This gospel is directly revealed to Paul personally by the resurrected Christ. That's why he had the authority to preach and write the letter to the Galatians on what the gospel of Jesus is. As said in chapter 1, verse 1, we look at it previously, the authority of Paul's apostleship to preach the gospel is from God and not from man. Here in verse 11 and 12, Paul emphasized the content of the gospel he was authorized to preach was also from God and revealed by Christ. Paul defended the origin of his apostleship and of the gospel are not to show how important he was or to please men, but to tell the Galatians how important the gospel they have heard from Paul, and they should hold on with it. They shouldn't desert it. In order to show to the Galatians that the gospel he preached was from God, Paul shared his own testimony of his life in verse 13 to 24. In that testimony, he talked about his life before his conversion and what happened at his conversion, and also his life after his conversion. We first look at Paul's life before his conversion in verse 13 to 14. "For you have heard my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people. So extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my fathers." Before Paul's conversion, he was very successful in Judaism. He was proud of his zeal for the traditions of his fathers. For this zeal, he was a person full of hatred towards Christ and his followers, wanting to destroy and kill those Christ followers. In verse 15 to 16, first part, Paul talked about what happened at his conversion. "But when he who had set me apart before I was born, and who called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son to me in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles." In verse 15 to 16, first part, the main character changed from I to he. I refer to Paul, and he referring to God. God was the one who initiated Paul's conversion. Before Paul was born, God set him apart. Before Paul has any opportunity to show his good work before God, God chose him. This is God's calling by His grace. Not to say good work. What Paul demonstrated were sins of self-righteousness and hatred towards Christ and His church. Despite this, God called him by His grace to reveal Christ to him. What does it mean? What does the gospel of grace mean? Firstly, no one is so bad he or she can't receive the gospel of grace. For any non-Christian, if you want to be a Christian, but you think you are not good enough, you want to wait and improve yourself so that you can be more ready to become a Christian. If this is what you are thinking, then the gospel of grace which Paul preached is relevant to you. Because you don't need to, and you are not able to make yourself become more acceptable by God for His salvation by your own merit. Because the price of salvation can only be paid by Jesus on the cross, no one can contribute their own merit to gain God's salvation. This is the gospel of grace. We can only receive the salvation freely through trusting in Jesus to be our Lord and Savior. Therefore, if you want to be a Christian, you don't need to wait to improve yourself. Just trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior today. Once you do so, talk to someone who cares for you and help you so that they can help you for your Christian walk with Christ. So you don't need to wait. Secondly, the gospel of grace means Paul was freed from effort of self-righteousness to love God. The Judaizers felt proud of the law of Moses inherited from their ancestors. The law of Moses became what they glorified and boast about. They don't trust that the justification by God through Christ's death and resurrection was enough for them to receive the full acceptance of God. They wanted to establish their identity as the keepers of the law in order to be confident that they are acceptable by God. Not only they boast about their identity before the Gentiles, they felt proud of it before God. Paul was like them previously. Now God called him by His grace. We are not Jews. We may not feel proud of the law of Moses as the Judaizers, but do we have other things in our lives which we feel proud of or which we feel important and we are making a lot of effort to pursue? Do we try to bring all those good things or good performance to God so that we can look more right before God? The gospel of grace convinced Paul that he was well accepted by God, though through what Christ has accomplished on the cross, so that Paul doesn't need to boast of any other things except for Christ and His crucifixion. As Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, "For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Paul had nothing to boast. The gospel of grace stopped Paul from boasting. Because God called him by His grace, he didn't need to fear whether he is well loved by God, our Heavenly Father. Paul didn't need to pursue to do good in order to secure God's love for him. Having the assurance of being loved by God through the gospel of grace, Paul had the freedom to love God and live for God for His glory. Imagine there's a father who has two sons. The father loves both of the sons very much. The father loves them as they are. The father loves them to the full extent, just because they are his sons. In the father's heart, the sons can't do anything to make him loving them more. Also, the sons can't do anything to make the father loving them less. We know that in reality on earth, no human father can love like that. But just imagine there is. Say the whole older son is not fully convinced of his father's unconditional love towards him. He fears that the father might not love him as much if he can't perform good enough. Imagine the father is a swimming coach and he coaches both of the sons for swimming competition. The older son practices swimming very hard in order to win his father's love. He wants to do well in the swimming competition to please the father in order to gain love from the father. Say the younger son, on the other hand, is different. He knows deeply his father's heart. The younger son knows deeply the father loves him. He knows that the father's love towards him is not based on his performance. He enjoys his father's love and is grateful to the father. He wants to love the father and brings honors to him. He also practices swimming, practices hard to please the father. However, his motivation is not for himself to gain more love from the father. The motivation is for his gratefulness towards the father. It is for the father's honor. We see the difference between the older son and the younger son. Both of them want to do well to please the father. The motivation of the older son is for gaining more love from the father, so that his need of being loved can be fulfilled. The younger son is assured and secured in his father's love. He doesn't need to focus on his own need of more love because he knows well he is well loved by the father. He is freed to express gratefulness and love, seeking the honor of his father. This was how the gospel of grace freed Paul to love God through honoring God and obeying God. As Paul said in Galatians chapter 1 verse 10 previously, he no longer need to seek approval of man or please man. He was freed to seek God's approval as his servant. For every Christian, God also called us by his grace. May the same gospel of grace assure us of the acceptance and love of God in Christ, so that we are free to please God and love him. Let us move on to look at what happened to Paul after his conversion. He continued testifying in verse 16, second part to verse 24. He said, I did not immediately consult with anyone, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went away into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went to Jerusalem to visit Cephas, and remained with him 15 days. But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. In what I am writing to you before God, I do not lie. Verse 21. Then I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was still unknown in person to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only were hearing it said, "He who used to persecute us is now preaching the faith that he once tried to destroy, and they glorify God because of me." In verse 16 and 17, Paul explained that after conversion, he did not consult from anyone, including all those leading apostles in Jerusalem, for the gospel he was going to preach. Rather, he went away into Arabia for a period of time. Quite likely, he spent a lot of personal quiet time with the Lord to receive his further revelation and teaching. That equipped him to know the Lord and his gospel better for personal spiritual growth and for preaching to the Gentiles. For Christians, it is also important for us to spend personal time with the Lord, to know him, to know the word through reading the Bible and prayer. After Arabia, Paul went to Damascus. Verse 18 tells us that 3 years after his conversion, Paul went to Jerusalem the first time after conversion to meet Peter and the Lord's brother James. The purpose was not for consultation on the gospel, but for fellowship and unity. In verse 20, Paul emphasized that what he testified was true and not lying. What Paul said was to prove that the gospel he preached was directly from God, but not man. After Jerusalem, Paul then went to the region of Syria and Cilicia, which was his original hometown. From Acts 11, we know that Paul preached the gospel there for a number of years, until Barnabas, another Christian brother, found him and asked him to serve in Antioch. In verse 23 to 24, although Paul was still unknown in person to the churches of Judea, they only were hearing it said, "He who used to persecute us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy, and they glorify God because of me." When Paul was saved by the gospel of grace, with Christ being revealed to him at his conversion, God also gave him the responsibility to preach Christ to the Gentiles. For this responsibility, God's grace did not start only at Paul's conversion. God even set him apart before he was born to prepare him for the responsibility to preach the gospel. God could make use of the experience of Paul before his conversion, and even can make use of his sins of persecuting the church, so that God led Paul to preach Christ in a unique way. This is God's wisdom and surpassing grace. The outcome we see was people giving glory to God. This is also true for each Christian. After God revealed his Son Jesus to us to believe in him, God also gave us responsibility to witness Jesus to others. The gospel of grace we receive is not only for us to enjoy, it is also for us to share and witness. Even there might be something bad happened in our past, in our life, but God can still make use of them to prepare us to witness God's grace in a unique way, for the praises of God's glorious grace. Through Paul's story from Galatians chapter 1, he witnessed that The gospel of grace was from God, revealed to him, impacted him, and was given to him as a responsibility to preach. Because of the gospel of grace, Paul was assured that he was called righteous by God and was called precious child of God. This enabled him to live a life pleasing God, but not pleasing man. Every Christian also has their own story for the gospel of grace. Let us consider our salvation story and give thanks to our God. Let us share our salvation story to others. What our life before our conversion? How the Lord lead us to conversion? And what is our life after conversion? What's the change? We can share our salvation story to other people around us. May the gospel of grace of Christ free us. Free us to live like Paul, pleasing God for his glory. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your great salvation. Lord, we thank you, you are willing to sacrifice yourself and give yourself on the cross and bear our penalty of sins so that we can receive this gospel of grace. Lord, we thank you for your work through your death and resurrection so that we can, those believe in you, we can be called righteous by the Holy God, and we can call beloved children of God. Lord, may your gospel of grace speak to us in our heart today once again, so that we can be assured how complete you accept us in Christ, and how complete love you have given to us, so that we can be free to seek to love you and to seek to please you. So we commit our hearts once again into your hands. May you continue to speak to us. How wonderful and precious the gospel of grace is, which you accomplished on the cross. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.